Welcome to podcast 5 of the return of Changing Room Chat. Today I've got Paul Coutts. How you doing, pal?
Good.
Yeah?
Yeah.
All good?
Good.
Thanks for taking time out chasing Logan Johnson's first touch to come and speak to me today.
Not enough time in the day.
How are you getting on? All good?
Yeah, good. No, enjoying it. Obviously back up the road and joined the locals.
Yeah. How's that been?
Well, mixed bag really. Yeah, start with obviously I missed pre-season and that, and then we've got a couple of new managers over the course. Dino's in now, so I think we'll pick up. I think we'll be all right. Yeah, but it's been a tough start. Yeah,
returning to fitness yourself, getting
just,
there.
Just about, yeah.
Yeah,
yeah. I didn't touch the ball for a while, so obviously I didn't play or trained or anything since last February.
Yeah.
And come in against yous and played 90 minutes and was blown out my arse.
Chasing the young boys about Christie Park.
Yeah. So no, it's been good. Yeah, getting up to speed now.
And
enjoying it.
Have you been doing much of the coaching stuff? Because obviously they said coaching role on the thing.
No, not really. I helped Jamie Watt for a little bit when he sort of took over for a couple of weeks, 3-4 weeks, whatever it was. So helped Watty out for a little bit. But no, Dino's got his own guys in. So just got Greg Moyer, Lennox, Kenny. So
just concentrating on playing.
Yeah, just been playing. Yeah.
Does that suit you a bit more?
Well, I'm doing my coaching badges.
Yeah.
So try to get my A license done this year, and then see what like. But I think when you can play, you're playing as long as you can, really. Yeah.
Was that a big difference? Obviously, we'll talk about it. But you started Cove, and then you went to England, and you came back. Is that only changed at all?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
In terms of more.
I think probably when I left, it was a lot of, like, I was probably the only young boy in his dressing room.
Right.
There was loads of sort of senior players, ex-pros, that sort of, probably what I am now.
Yeah, okay.
And now it seems there's a lot of youngsters.
It is young, eh?
Young, decent players, technically really good players.
Yeah.
Quicker than me anyway. but I think that's changed. I think there's definitely a younger generation coming through the Highland League.
Yeah. So we mentioned it, but we'll go into it. Breakthrough at Cove. 16, am I right? 16 you broke into the team?
I think I left Aberdeen at 16. Must have been 17 maybe when I went to Cove.
Cove, okay.
Got in the team pretty quick. And
Yeah,
I had a good time.
And how was that? You were saying it was a lot of old pro, like ex-pros and older sort of guys. I'm assuming that was a big help at that age.
Yeah, I mean, it was totally different. Obviously, John Sheridan, the manager as well, was more sort of old school, straight down the line with you.
Yeah.
And then, loads of senior pros in the dressing room. I was sort of the only youngster.
Yeah.
Maybe we had Jordan Reed come with me. Jake Strachan.
Jake.
They were probably the only other two sort of young lads, but they didn't really play.
Okay.
So I was the only one playing. And then, it was sort of, you knew where you stood.
Yeah. How was the boozing back in the day?
Big culture of it, yeah.
Was it? Yeah, because it's not really like that anymore.
No,
like,
it's different.
Sawyer's mentioned it on his podcast. It's not really the same.
It's totally different, which was something. I mean, it was different when I went down to England straight away. I obviously come from that dressing room in Cove, and it was like, it was probably more about having the beer after.
What
to win the games, and we did, and we were successful, but we'd have a good drink after.
Yeah.
I got down the road, and it wasn't really like that.
Never.
Caught me off guard a little bit. Cost me a few weeks' wages off a few of the managers, but no, it was a bit more professional than that, and I think probably as time's gone on, it's sort of phased out.
Yeah, is there no sort of drinking culture in England, really, after date, like once you're back and stuff like that, maybe?
Yeah, no, it's just different. There's no, you don't get beers in the bus and stuff like that, it's professional, so straight away you're on recovery for the next game and stuff like that, and then nights out and stuff like that, you got more chance of getting recognised or
reported back to the
club and stuff like that, so took me a while to adapt to that, to be fair.
Was there any, who was the boys that when you were at Cove, who was like the big hitters?
So we had Jerry O'Driscoll, Colin Milne, Clarky Bain, Gary Clark.
Clark Bain's a good lad.
Clarky's a good lad, yeah. All good lads. Kevin Tindall's captain.
Scary guy. Or he looked a scary guy.
Yeah. Still in touch with him now. Actually, great guy.
Yeah.
Really nice guy. But for me being like 17, 18, whatever it was, intimidating guys going around, and you didn't want Gary Clark, was played in midfield with him, and then he ended up going up to Devon Vale and taught me about 4 times when we played them, and so I thought we were mates, like, what's going on there? So
Gaz is still playing now,
is he?
Yeah, he still plays now.
I was fit, strong, filthy player. Filthy. Oh, his tackles were horrible. That great dressing room, and yeah, we used to obviously go out and have a beer after, yeah.
Yeah. So you were straight into the team, sort of pretty much player of the year first year?
I think I played the first season, I think I just broke into the team in towards the end, and then the first full season, yeah, got player of the year, yeah.
How was that?
It was good. It was weird. Like, won the league and got player of the year and stuff, and then before you know it, I'd been sold down to Peterborough.
Okay.
And then the first year down there, like, we've got promoted again, and, and I got young player of the year there, and it was like, sort of take it all for granted, thinking this is just like normal stuff, but the longer your career is, then you start realising that actually it was pretty good achievements.
Big time. So how did the Peterborough thing actually come about? Because I know it was Alex Ferguson's son, Darren.
Yeah, so Darren had grown up in Aberdeen and through the 80s.
Right.
And I knew Graham Park, who's John Sharon's assistant at Cove.
Okay.
So we had a couple of SPL teams that were willing to take us, basically, and Park had phoned Ferguson and said, take him down for a look.
Yeah.
And he said, yeah, come down. So I trained for a week, said, Sam, we'll take him. And Barry Fry was doing the deal with Keith Moorhouse, and Barry's just like doing Barry as he does, playing silly bollocks, not willing to pay a fee, basically.
Oh, was he not?
Nah, nothing. And they're going, Cove just going, no, then.
Yeah.
So Darren says, right, come back down and you'll play a game. So I went down in the pre-season. So I've been playing with Cove, went down the pre-season, trained for like a couple of days. The game we had was playing Man United. So it was like Fergie Jr. v his dad.
Yeah.
So they've just won the Champions League in 2008, Premier League. So they're parading all the trophies before the game.
Yeah.
So I'm just like, holy fuck, like, what's happened here? So played 45 minutes, played well.
Yeah.
Ferguson says, right, we'll get it done, don't worry. You're training Monday. This is on a Saturday. So I said to him, right, okay, well, probably going to have to nip home and like get some stuff. Like, I took an overnight bag.
That's all you had?
That's all I had with me. And he was like, oh, yeah, fair enough, right. Well, you'll be in Tuesday then. So I got an extra day to go home, pack up my whole life up and drive down to Peterborough, and that was it, yeah.
But so was there a hint of you doing that without knowing if the deal was actually going through?
Yeah,
Or were you fairly confident? Did you not really think at that age?
The boys at Cove said it'll get done. It's just Barry being Barry.
Okay.
And yeah, Barry was out of bollocks all the time.
Was it?
Yeah. I found out firsthand when he was selling me. He was just talking.
Just that?
Yeah, all the time. Just trying to take cuts off everything. So, just did it and went down and, that was it. It was done.
I've got on there, I'm intrigued to know, how was it moving down to England as a young lad? Because you probably went yourself, I'm assuming.
Yeah, it was a bit mental. Like, I went down and Ferguson said to me, right, you're going to go live with one of the boys. And I said, right, okay, no problem. George Boyd.
Oh, yeah, said, the boy with the hair?
Yeah.
He played for Scotland.
Yeah. So, I'm moving into Boydies. Don't know Boydie at all. Okay, sound. Drove down, took me about 10 hours to get down from Aberdeen to Peterborough, but I got there, got to his address, knocked on the door, don't have his number, nothing, he's not in. So I'm like, fucking hell, what am I going to do here? So I had to phone the gaffer and I said, I've got here, he's not here. Phone Boydie. Boydie didn't even know I was moving in.
Oh my God.
So then he comes over, has to let me in, and I'm now moving into his house with all my luggage and all that. Sorry, mate. Felt like a right cunt, but anyway, that was me in. And then, just moved in with Boydie. It was just a bit of a, pretty surreal. Like, you know, you're 18, you move away. It's just like, almost like you're on holiday. You don't realize that you commit to the rest of your, like, next 15, 20 years down the road. It was just like, just a mad time,
How was he to live with?
Sound, yeah.
Yeah.
Sound, once we got over the awkwardness of me moving into his house.
Because was he older?
Boydie was a couple of years older than me, So
he was still quite young himself.
Yeah, he was about 23 or something. So he lived on his own, had a couple of spare rooms in his house. So yeah, I got chucked in there, but he didn't know I was coming. Ferguson hadn't told him, he just decided that was happening. So yeah, that was that.
For you being a young boy, obviously, from Cove straight down to Peterborough, you kind of went straight into the team. Like you were saying, was it kind of just a bubble? It was normal for you, sort of thing, just playing?
It was weird, because I think, obviously, looking back at it now, they'd obviously signed me thinking, prospect, might do okay, probably load of reserve games or something. Within like 2 weeks down there, I was in the team.
And,
played like, I think I got 50 odd games first season. We got promoted, and it was like, I don't think they'd expected it. I didn't really know what to expect. I just was playing. Must have been playing well. Kept my jersey and stayed in the team.
Yeah.
Team's winning, so it doesn't change very much.
Yeah.
Then that was it. It was just sort of off and rolling, and I'd obviously done well at COVID year before, then done well there, and I'm thinking, it's a piece of this.
And how was it going down to England with obviously bigger crowds and things like that? Or again, you just kind of just take it?
Didn't really bother us, no. No, just, yeah, I was focused on just, so Ferguson was on my case a lot.
How was he?
He was good. He was really good for me. He was strict on me.
Was he?
When I went down with my dad, and then he obviously seen I was a young boy moving away from home, and he sort of took on a sort of father figure to me and he was dead strict on me off the pitch, dead strict on me on the pitch as well, but loved me.
Okay.
Loved me a bit, so I couldn't do anything wrong. But he would like, I was staying in the team, but he was just all on me all the time.
Yeah, yeah.
And all he used to just grill me about is, if I wasn't trying to get on the ball, I'm coming off.
Right, okay.
So I was just wanting the ball all the time. So everyone else around was probably thinking, who's this little twat from Aberdeen?
Just screaming for the ball.
Saying like, give me it, give me it. Don't care, I'm Mark, just give it. So, but that was him. He was on me about that all the time. So it probably settled me much easier and took away any distractions of the crowd or whatever. It made it easy for me to focus on, I just need to keep trying to get on the ball.
Yeah.
Just keep trying to get on it. As soon as I don't, I'm getting whipped.
Yeah, yeah. You were saying he's strict on you out off the pitch as well. Was that like the drinking side of it?
Yeah, big time, yeah. So obviously they've signed me from Cove and I've gone on to a contract which was probably expected, as I said, to be like a reserve player.
Yeah,
I'd imagine, looking back at it now. And because I've broken the team, my thoughts were, Saturday night, we're going out, we'll have a pint. So if we've won, we're celebrating.
Yeah.
If you've been beat, you're going to have a pint, you've been beat. And it didn't really matter how you'd play. That was just what I was used to. So every Monday I'd get called in his office and he'd go mental at me because I'd been out in Peterborough.
Okay.
We were only 45 minutes from London on the train. So he would say, I've told you, if you want to go out in London.
Yeah.
But train to London, hotel in London, and night out, wasn't on the wages for that.
Yeah, okay.
So I would say to him, well, you're going to have to pay me more if you want me to go out in London. So we were sort of in like, swings and roundabouts. So he said, every Monday, I'm going out in Peterborough. And he'd go fucking nuts about it. And then find me.
Yeah. Oh, did you find a lot? Did you?
Oh, yeah. I was getting fined all the time. So you take a week's wage off me. By this point, I'm getting now a week's wage less. And the problem was I didn't have enough money to go to London anyway. So I'm definitely going to Peterborough. So we just go round in circles all the time.
Was it quite a wild team, like in terms of the boys drinking and that?
Yeah, so at that point, you still had a good school of lads that would go out.
Yeah.
I just seemed to be the one who would always do something stupid and get myself in trouble, and then an email in the club with a picture or whatever. And that was.
Was it bad for that? Was it?
Yeah, it's just a little small. It's a commuter town to London, so it was like, I say small, it was still busy. Like.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Everyone knew everyone, and I was just floating about.
Kick arse out of it.
Yeah. 18-year-old boy on pretty much thinks he's on his holidays.
So the net Preston came after that. Ferguson again.
Yeah, so as I said, he did love us as a player, like, so he took me up to Preston. But then like Preston was only 45 minutes to Manchester.
Okay.
So that was be his thing, don't go out to Preston. But I stupidly thought a better idea than that, because I lived the other side of Preston, so I was about an hour at Manchester. It was only 20 minutes to Blackpool. So I thought, fuck, that's where I'll go out. Blackpool, start going out up there. But they're Preston's big rivals. So that was even worse. You're getting grassed on now by everyone. So he's fucking raging with me as well. But he got a bit of an odd deal at Preston. He had to like strip the budget back, sold all our players.
When he went in?
Yeah. And then once he'd done that, he got sacked.
Okay. It was
just like a bit of turmoil there. And the club was in a bad place really at the time. So Preston was a weird place for I was there 3 years almost, but for the first like 18 months, it was like cutbacks with everything.
Right.
And, obviously, Fergie lost his job and manager after manager come in.
Okay. So you became captain at Preston. Who made you captain? Ferguson?
So Phil Brown come in.
Oh, yeah.
But we quite like Brownie.
Was he all right?
Yeah, Brownie was all right. Got on well with him. And then when he got the sack, David Unsworth and Graham Alexander took the job.
Yeah.
So they made me captain when they got the job for interim basis, whatever. And then Graham Wesley come in.
Okay, yeah.
He was a fucking weirdo.
Oh, really?
He would he would send out texts for you to like vote on the team. Who should play? Who should be captain? Who should do this? Who should do that?
Nah.
So everyone's getting these texts. So I used to always just reply like, you know, I was wanting to leave anyway at the time.
Oh, wait, okay.
So I wasn't really bothered. Didn't like the style of football. You weren't allowed to pass it in midfield. Didn't suit me at all.
Right, so you're just doing doggies.
Yeah, just doing doggies up and down. You weren't, called the centre midfield, he called Area 51. So that's where bad stuff
that's
happens.
That's enough for me, really, yeah. Mike.
don't pass it in there. So what's the point in having a midfielder on the pitch then?
Yeah.
Especially when one wants to get on the ball. That's all I've been getting taught for the last couple of years.
Yeah.
Get on the ball, get on the ball. Now we're hitting channels. It's crap. So I wanted to leave. So I didn't really have much respect for him, to be honest. And so I would just text back, I think I should play and I should definitely be captain. Just to wind him up, really. But then all the boys kept voting me captain.
Oh, okay.
So stayed as captain, and he wasn't really, I wasn't his type of player, so he wasn't really having it. And I got my 10th booking of the season when he was in, and I was suspended for 2 games. And he used to debrief in the changing room after, but he'd go through every player.
Jesus.
It could take 2 hours sitting there in your kit waiting, and he'd go through every player on the flip chart, and he would go through everything, rate you out of 10, start keeper.
Jesus.
So he got to me, we played somebody away, I can't remember away, like Yeovil or something like that, miles away.
Yeah.
And it's like 6 hour journey home. And we're like an hour into debrief, he's got to me, you've took your 10th booking, captain of the club, I think you should apologise to the lads. And I said, nah, don't think so.
And he's in the changing room.
Yeah, forever. And I says, no, it was a tactical foul. They were countering on us. I've took somebody down. It was to benefit the team.
Yeah.
I'm not gonna apologise for it. And we've just had like a standoff. And he's not carrying on until I apologise. And I'm not apologising. I live on my own. I've got nothing to get back for anyway. I'm going, nah. I'm just not apologising. So we stayed there for ages. Eventually, he moved on. About 3 hours in, we've moved on. And Monday morning, go to his office, calls me in, and then send me back to Aberdeen. Just go back to Aberdeen.
Oh, really?
Come back when you're ready to apologise. So it's no problem.
Yeah.
Going back to Aberdeen. I'm not apologising. So
I take just, all the boys had... We're back in you.
Yeah,
this
all the
point.
Boys
yeah,
think
yeah.
He's an idiot at this point. Like, he's totally lost the dressing room. So I've just stayed in Aberdeen.
Yeah.
I've got 2 week ban anyway. So a week goes by, second week coming to an end. He's phoned me on a Thursday. You're going to apologise? No. He said, well, you better come back down. I said, well, that's fine. I'll come back down, no problem. Come back down. Trained on the Friday. Started the Saturday. He made me captain again. So I'm like, You've totally lost the lads here.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
You've lost all respect, all credibility's gone. So yeah, me and him clashed like big time.
How did you find being captain at that sort of age? What would you have been, 21?
21, 22 maybe. Yeah, it was all, it was...
Does that sort of thing bother you?
No, the only thing where it was, I found it hard because the lads weren't having him.
Right.
They weren't having his training. We were out running and stuff on a Friday night before a game on a Saturday. And we couldn't win on a Saturday.
Right.
And he was beasting the lads every day. You're not fit enough. Beasting us. But you come in the January. So we've got games all the time.
Yeah, yeah.
And the lads just aren't performing. So the boys are saying they're knackered.
Yeah.
It's my duty now to go tell him.
Right, okay.
So he doesn't want to hear this. And he's going, nah, it's your opinion. And I'm going, it's not my opinion. It's the opinion of the dressing room.
Yeah.
I'm just the one to deliver the news to you or whatever.
Yeah.
And he's just not having it. So me and him are now arguing that it's my opinion. I'm going, it's not my opinion. I'm just telling
Jesus.
You. The boys are saying, physically, they're knackered.
Yeah.
They've not adapted to your training. And we need to get some wins. Because we went from the playoffs. We're now down to like 16th, 17th in League One.
Just couldn't win at all.
Couldn't win. And he just wasn't having it. So that was tough. It was a good learning curve for me at a young age. Like, you know, how to word things to...
Yeah, how to speak to
a manager properly. Because I had no respect for him and I was wanting to leave. I didn't really care where I was going to have an argument.
Right, okay.
But later on in my career when I captained teams, I would, you know, try and settle the building down rather than add fuel to the fire.
Yeah, yeah.
Sort of thing. So it was a good learning curve for me. But
see, that sort of down in England, that captain, is that pretty much what it is? Like, you've got the armband, obviously, but is it initially just to bridge the gap between players and manager? Is that pretty much your role?
I think, man, you get a lot of shit that comes along with it, but there's a lot of...
Sorting tickets and all that shit.
You've got to do the tickets. You've got to do the bonuses. That's a nightmare.
Bonuses?
Yeah. Sorting bonuses is a nightmare because you go in with the chief exec. If you don't agree a new bonus scheme, it falls back onto what it was previously.
Right, okay.
So the club have always got the upper hand on you.
Yeah, okay.
And the lads are going, nah, we're not having that. But you don't have a leg to stand on anyway because it'll just fall back.
Yeah.
So you've got to go in and argue for the lads all the time, but you're pissing in the wind. So like that side of things was tough. But yeah, mostly day-to-day, it was just bridging the gap and relaying the manager if, you know, training wasn't at it or,
yeah, yeah.
You know, if somebody's causing issues or being an arse in the dressing room or whatever, and you boys just aren't having them, like, stuff like that, you'd have to sort out, yeah.
So see, when does it get easier as you get older? Because you've been through it all, and
yeah,
when you're young, you probably think, fuck.
I think when you're young, you just think, like,
Jesus. Suppose,
like,
you've probably got no bit of fear as well.
Yeah, but then I think that sometimes doesn't help you.
You just go wild.
Yeah, you just quite rash and don't think things through. And try and just get the outcome as quick as possible. Sometimes you think, look back and then I go, should have handled that.
I could have done it different, yeah.
Yeah.
I was going to ask later on, but I'll ask it now. See, down in England, I think you'll know Grimmer, Jack Grimmer.
Yeah.
So I'm friends with Grimmer, and I think you spoke about it in the pod as well. Down at Wickham and that, you're literally playing two games a week.
Yeah.
You said to me before, you basically train maybe once a week, twice a week. Is that enjoyable? Like, just get it. From the outside looking in, games is what you want to do, surely.
Yeah, I mean, it depends. Like, it depends on sort of manager you've got, because if you're playing Saturday, and it's going to be like, I mean, video and tactical sessions, like, the players find it quite boring.
Yeah.
So if you're going to do loads of that when it's just Saturday, you'd rather have a game on the Tuesday, yeah. So you don't have time for it.
Yeah.
So you just analyse quick session Monday, and then play Tuesday, off Wednesday, light again Thursday, prepare Friday, play Saturday. So the week flows a lot easier when you've got games, but when you've got it for like a month, you might have, you know, 8 games in the month or something, you know, it becomes like, starts.
That's a lot, yeah. How's the travel on that?
Travel's all right.
Is it?
Yeah, I never used to mind travelling around, because you get a game of cards on the bus and a bit of crap with the lads, yeah.
Yeah.
Travelling wasn't too bad.
No, I got a bit monotonous, like hotels, all that shit, travelling on a Monday to play a Tuesday night, and
You get used to it. I suppose it does a little bit, yeah, but you're always preparing for the game. So you've always got the sort of build up of anxiety for the game. So you're not that.
Yeah, okay.
You're not really, like, sitting there thinking, I'm bored. You're more thinking, like, hope play well tomorrow and doing everything you can to make sure you're going to be right for the next night or the Saturday or whatever.
Yeah. So the next big one, the next move, huge one for me, I want to talk about Derby. How's that come about? Because that's a massive club.
Yeah, just, I was actually going to go to Birmingham. I went and met Lee Clark. Yeah, he was a Birmingham manager at the time.
Yeah.
So I went and met him at a hotel in Newcastle, and they were in an embargo at the time, so I couldn't pay a fee. And Preston just weren't letting us go without a fee.
Right. And so then, how did the Preston think, like, did you just want to go at that point?
Well, they were trying to clear the wage bill at the time.
Okay.
So most of the bigger earners had already gone.
Right, okay.
And the team was now, like, they'd capped the wages, the team was not great, they took in Wesley, I didn't like him, didn't like style.
Yeah.
And it was just going to be a sort of bog standard League One team. I wasn't really interested. I had a couple of offers in the Championship.
Right.
So I wanted to go. Ferguson was actually back at Peterborough at the time. He was trying
I read
to,
that when I was
trying to take me back to Peterborough. So they'd actually put in the biggest bid, but I just wasn't going, because the other club, bigger clubs, Derby, I think had Hull, Birmingham, had bigger clubs in, more established Championship clubs. So I pretty much agreed I was going to go to Birmingham, but embargo, can't pay the fee. Then Nigel Clough phoned me and said, before you do anything, Monday morning, come down and see our training ground. Well, okay, cool. Went down. Amazing.
Unreal.
Yeah.
How's he?
Yeah, brilliant.
Yeah.
Really good. Got on great with him. So went in, training ground's amazing. First thing he says to me was, the first international break, we go away, we go to Marbella. So I'm going, all right, okay.
Buzzing.
And he goes, do you have a beer? I says, yeah, well, I'd take a beer, like, yeah. And he goes, well, we'll go to Marbella, but there's no training. It's a week, lads, drinking.
Just a piss up.
Yeah. So I'm going, this is a wind up.
Like, and you were waiting for the catch.
Yeah, he's testing me or something. And he goes, second international break, I'll leave it open to players. They pick the destination, club pays for everything. You just go. Last year we went to New York. I think the boys are going to Miami this year. And I'm going, what? What's going on here? So he called the club captain in, and he says, yeah, like,
who was that at that point?
It was a guy, Sean Barker.
Oh yeah, the centre-half, big guy. Yeah,
terrible knee injury, never played again from his knee. So Bark's come in and confirmed everything. Yeah, that's what we do. He leaves a player out of his budget to pay for the trips through the season. So I was like, Jesus Christ, this can't be right. So then he says, you've played at the stadium, haven't you? Yeah, Pride Park. He says, yeah, we'll have the highest attendance in the Championship next year. So I'm like, right, that's the club I'm going to. Definitely. Yeah, yeah. And that was my mind made up. Went down, signed. Nah.
Did you feel any pressure going there? To, like, Because that is, Derby's huge.
And he was a big jump, yeah. I think when I signed, they had like 26,000 season ticket holders.
Jesus.
So you're like, okay.
This is big.
Proper club coming here. Yeah. Need to,
did that bother you? Did you feel the pressure?
No, it was
that?
More excitement, really.
Yeah, okay.
Still young and a bit naive. Wild. It was more just excitement. And the training ground was unbelievable.
Yeah.
Just thought the proper chance to like progress myself further.
Yeah, of course, yeah.
So, yeah, it was amazing club, yeah.
How was, before we get on to the rest of it, how was the nightlife in Derby? Like, decent?
Yeah, good, yeah.
To go with the rest of the theme.
It was like, Derby's only 9 miles from Nottingham.
Right, okay.
So I didn't realise how intense that rivalry was. So
right, yeah, yeah.
And it was fiery. It was a fiery one. So when I first went, I was like, oh, I'll live in Nottingham and I'll get out of the way a bit. Went through, tried a few some bits straight away. Everyone clocks you, knows you're a Derby.
As huge as it, okay.
So you get pelters the other way. You know, yes, it's not nice. I was like, nah. Derby's won. Derby was good. We had a young squad and a load of lads who had moved away from home, so everyone in a similar boat. And
right.
Yeah, we had a good time there. Yeah.
Who was some of the big dogs there? Bryson there at that point.
Bryce was there. Yeah.
Bryce was a great lad. Bryce, I met him up here.
Yeah, Bryce decent. Connor Salmon.
Oh yeah.
Great lad. Terrible player. Best lad in the world. Terrible player.
Was there a lot of, like Scottish? Was there any Scottish boys?
So there's Bryce, Craig Forsyth.
Final left back.
Yeah, Chrissy Martin.
Oh yeah.
Johnny Russell.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Great lad, Johnny.
He's wild, is he not?
Yeah, bonkers.
Yeah, I've heard that. Yeah,
absolutely bonkers. Yeah. Used to, we just come in after his day off with new tattoos and stuff like all over him, and
just think of a fuck.
Just mad tattoos everywhere, big lions on his chest and stuff. Creeping up to Johnny, nipped out a tattoo parlor on his day off. Fair enough.
How was your time at Derby?
Good. The first season we finished. I think we finished 9th or 10th, something like that, which was okay, but from Nigel had took over and the club had been in turmoil,
right.
So they were steadily improving and it was decent in the top 10, we were happy, played, I missed one game.
Okay.
Once we come back from Marbella, missed that game, so overdone it, over there, yeah.
Did you actually, is that the reason you missed it?
Yeah, I was hung over at death, missed a week's training. When you get back from a lad's holding, you like, can't speak or anything, like that. That was the only game I missed away at Huddersfield. Played every other game. So it was decent. And then the next season after that, they sacked Nigel and Steve McLaren come in.
Oof.
And sort of everything changed after that. The trips were off.
Yeah, definitely off. No trip.
But Steve was an unbelievably good coach.
Was he?
Yeah. So Nigel was way more about team spirit and just being like, work hard.
Yeah.
Not really. We didn't do set pieces. We didn't do shape. Didn't do anything like that. He was old school. He was like brilliant to get the group together.
Yeah.
And then Steve come in and just added loads of technical and tactical stuff. And the group went on. And we got beat in the playoff final the next year.
Was that after he was at England?
Yeah.
Jesus.
So he come in. He was good. Yeah. QPR beat us in the playoff final.
Okay.
He did take us on the next level.
Yeah.
He got a job and it was one of them. He was like meant to just be in the stand watching.
Okay.
Play Ipswich at home. 4-0 down at half time.
Oh shit.
And he's just meant to be watching. He come in the changing room at half time. But he doesn't swear or anything.
Does he not?
No, doesn't swear, doesn't nothing like that. He's like, I think he's born again Christian, something like that. So he's dead calm.
Right, okay.
Doesn't swear. Very like methodical and everything.
Yeah.
So he got a tactics board up and went 4-0 down at home. Crowd's gone fucking mental.
Yeah.
He's made like two tiny tactical tweaks through the game 4-0.
Shit.
So straight away the boys are like, whoa, like, genius this fella.
That's so mad, eh?
Yeah.
Doesn't shout and scream at nobody?
No. Nothing. Totally.
In some of the managers you've listed already, like Brownie and that, surely you were used to people going
go mental.
Fucking nuts, yeah.
4-0 down would have been like, people's heads are getting ripped off, stuff's getting thrown around the dressing room, all sorts, but nah, nothing. I think the worst I heard him come out was like, flipping heck, boys. People, whoa, he's raging. So, yeah, no, nothing, no swearing, nothing like that. A couple of little tweaks here and there, moved a few boys around. This is need, stop doing this, do this, 4-0.
Jeez.
So he got off that flyer.
Yeah, yeah.
And the boys bought into it massively, and then new owners come in.
Right.
The guy who guy who just sold Candy Crush bought a club. That man was, he fucked the club in the end.
Oh, right, okay.
But at the time, it was like no holds barred with spending.
Was he going nuts, was he?
Yeah, training ground all got like transformed. New gym, new swimming pool, new everything just come in like overnight.
See, that sort of level, is that like big dog level derby?
Yeah, just like
anything you want, basically.
The training ground just had everything. Literally had everything. And he did it really quick. Like everything just managed to appear. I had a knee injury at the time and needed one of them anti-gravity machines to start running on.
Oh, yeah,
so
okay.
It takes your weight off and you can start like 10% of your body weight, start getting used to running and all that again. But we had to go to the university and use it. He come in, asked if there's anything could speed up my rehab. Physio said, an anti-gravity machine, we've got to be... He was there the next day.
Shit. Concerns about money at all.
Nothing at all. So you're like, okay, this guy's serious. And then a few bigger hitters start coming through the door. Dad and Ben signed.
How was he?
Very good.
Yeah.
Yeah, very good. But he was it. We took him on loan from Aston Villa. He was on like 150 grand a week or something. And he just comes in on loan and you're like, how the fuck are we affording him?
Yeah, but yeah.
Obviously, this new owner wasn't there to muck around. Like,
aye, okay.
Jack Butland come in and goal. Very good.
Oh, yeah, yeah. He's doing really well at Rangers.
Yeah, he was very good. He was a really good keeper. He made a couple of signings and kicked us on to the next level. Like,
yeah. And then, so you ended up going to Sheffield United. Was it McLaren and Soldier? Or?
Yeah, so McLaren, to be fair, Steve, Steve was just a head coach. He wasn't the manager.
All right, okay.
So he didn't really have any involvement in anything other than just coaching.
Right, okay.
Nigel Clough had gone to Sheffield United.
Yeah.
Tried to sign us, and it was quite a tough decision because Sheffield United were in League One at the time, and I left in January. We were top of the Championship at Derby. So I was like, oh, I don't know, we could get promoted.
Yeah.
I'm not sure. But anyway, Steve actually pulled me in his office and said, look, I'd been playing, but my contract was running out. And he said, the club aren't going to offer you a new contract. You've got effectively 4 months left. This is in January.
Yeah.
If I was advising you, I would say to go. If I'm being selfish, I'd keep you.
Yeah, okay.
So I respected him a lot for that.
Yeah.
Went up to Sheffield and went with Nigel Clough again.
We'll speak about Joey Barton in a minute, but I've noticed that looking through the career, obviously, Ferguson signed you again, Clough signed you again, Barton ends up doing it as well.
Yeah.
Are you kind of like, if you get a good relationship with someone, you kind of, it must work both ways. You must do the same, like you're looking up to them, but they must trust you a lot if that's happened a few times.
I think I've over my career I've been one of the like decent lads to have around probably.
Yeah.
Like a laugh, like a joke, get involved in everything off field as we've discussed. So I buy into the team massively. Yeah. And pretty low maintenance around the place. Like if I'm not playing, I'm not gonna be banging your door down. I know I need to just get back on the training ground, perform well. If I get my chance, gotta take it.
Yeah.
So don't think it's it's one of them. I see loads of lads as soon as they're out of the team, they kick off and they go nuts about it. And you're like, you've been playing shite. Like, you must expect it.
Yeah.
You know, so I've always just, you know, took it, worked harder, get back in. You get back in, you got to do well.
So you've never really been one for knocking the manager's door in?
Not overly, no. Not overly, because, you know, manager's got always going to be right.
Yeah.
Because they pick a team and dead easy to get clips of somebody. All their faults.
Cane you.
That's all you're teeing yourself up for.
Yeah.
You just go and go, come on, sit down. I'll show you. You absolutely have them on for an hour. And then you go, yeah, fuck, it wasn't that bad. So it's like, there's no point.
Yeah.
They're not going to get the highlights of you playing really well up
while
you're not in the team. They just get all the clips of you giving the ball away, missing tap, whatever.
Yeah.
So, like, they're always going to shoot you down.
See, as you got older, did you kind of encourage people not to do that then? Did you kind of, like, you know, if someone said to you, I'm going to go and chap on the door?
I would just say, know what to expect.
Yeah.
Because if you're going to chat on his door, he's not going to say, oh, you're right, sorry about that, you're playing.
Yeah.
Like, he's going to make his point to why you're not playing. So it's like, why would you go in and like,
open yourself up to
prove that to you?
Yeah.
Like, you must know. You know yourself if you're playing well or bad.
Yeah.
So, like, they must know.
So Sheffield United, that's another big team. Obviously, I think they're probably bigger now than when you went, but still massive team around there.
Yeah. It was tough. So the first season went in, we got beat in the playoffs by Swindon, drew 5 each the second leg, they beat us 1-0 at Bramall Lane, drew 5 each, got beat. Che Adams actually come off the bench, scored a couple of late goals and it was like game on again.
But yeah.
We got beat and then afterwards, we're in the dressing rooms, the season's obviously over, you think, like, it's mad because when you're in the playoffs, like, you're still building, then that game, season's over, done.
Yeah.
Owners come in and said, so Nigel took them to semi-final playoffs in League One, semi-final both the Cups when they're the League One side.
Jesus.
She's done a good job.
Yeah.
We're going to back a manager. We're going to keep the group together. All this. 2 weeks later, sacked. So he's now out the door. I've only been there like 4 months. I'm thinking, fuck's sake.
See, as players, can you do anything about that? You know, when you're like, because you obviously, if they're backing the manager, it's going to be public. It's going to be in the papers. So you read it as well.
Yeah.
Can you do anything about that when they then just sack him? Like,
no.
Player power doesn't really mean.
No.
Nah.
Not really, no.
Not so, even down there.
No, I guess maybe. No, not really. Some of the owners might go and speak to the captain about it.
Yeah.
Maybe. But the decision's usually made.
Right. Yes.
So yeah. Nigel got sacked harsh. Sheena sacked him, and then Nigel Atkins come in.
Oh yeah, okay.
Crap. Obviously. Absolutely crap. Honestly.
Looks like a PE teacher.
He was a physio. Well, he was a goalie, then he was a physio.
Yeah.
And then he stumbled across.
Let's not hate physios too much.
No, I don't mind physios. But if they then take the job as a manager, you're like, well, you know, what's going on here?
Yeah.
Especially at a club like that, because he was like, that's a real like working class hard city.
Yeah,
and he was like a overly nice guy. Nice guy, not a bad guy at all. Overly nice, couldn't motivate the lads.
Right.
Not a clear idea on how to play. Like, just crap.
Okay.
And because they chopped and changed managers so much, we had a massive squad.
Okay.
So we had like, we had 44 pros.
Fucking hell.
Yes, yeah, so we had 44 pros. So you'd have 2 11v11s going on at training at the same time. And he would be trying.
Two separate games going on.
And he would be trying to pick, and that's without supplementing it with the academy. And he'd be trying to pick out of this. So, because he was such a nice fella, he would make like 8 changes every week to try and keep,
everyone happy.
But he ended up with no one happy. So you'd have a queue of like 20 senior pros at his door on a Friday afternoon waiting for him. He wouldn't come in. He'd just keep walking around the training ground until everyone had left. So he'd get like 3 in the afternoon on a Friday and you'd be going, is he still fucking walking around the pitch? What's he doing?
Just avoid.
Just wouldn't come in. Wouldn't want confrontation with anyone.
That surely doesn't work at that level.
Well, it didn't work.
Nah.
We were crap.
Yeah.
So, like, at that time, Sheffield was like, it was a hard place to be, hard place to live.
Yeah.
Obviously, you had Wednesday in the city as well, so you would get peppered off that lot.
Yeah.
I remember I had the lads down. I had the lads down for a game. I hadn't even played in the game, because I was one of the boys that had been rotated out of the squad or whatever. So I hadn't played, had friends and family and all that down. We're going out for food and drinks and all that.
Yeah.
And getting peppered off Sheffield United fans because we'd been beat at home by like Shrewsbury or someone like that. Someone we should be pumping.
Yeah.
And I'm getting peppered. And the staff are over saying, sorry, you'll have to leave. To me. And I'm like, how? We go, you're just causing like trouble because you're in here, you'll have to leave. It's like, right, fuck. Off we go.
So you have to take all your friends and family.
We're out of there.
That's a joke, yeah.
Off over to the next place. Same thing. Bottles are coming over and stuff. And you're going, oh, right, we're out of here. So you like, couldn't even go out at anything at that time.
Was that the worst place to live for that sort of stuff?
Just because it was so intense.
Yeah.
Because like, I mean,
they proper hate each other. Though.
Yeah, and like, because we weren't doing well at the time, even your own fans are hating you. So you've got like, you know, every week you'd have 30,000 going to Bramall Lane, 30,000 going to Hillsborough. So you've got 60,000 people who go to football
who want to
pepper you. One way or the other. So you're like, just get out of here.
Yeah.
So yeah, it was hard going, but it flipped on its head eventually. Like.
So who took over from him?
Wilder come in.
Wilder.
Chris Wilder come in.
Yeah. How was he?
Brilliant.
He was linked to Aberdeen job like two years ago or something?
Yeah. I spoke to him. I'm still in touch with him.
Nice guy.
Yeah, top proper man's man, like good fella.
Yeah.
Straight down the line with you. So when he took the job, first thing he had to do was obviously clear out this huge squad.
Yeah.
So he phoned me. I was summer holidays, I was in Aberdeen, and he phoned us and said, look, I've never met him. And he said, you come to Bramall Lane for a meeting. I just said, well, what's it for? Because it's a long drive for a meeting, like, whatever, over the phone or whatever. And he said, I'm going to have to put you on transfer list, cutting the wages, cutting the squad, cutting the asshole. Right, fair enough. He said, but you can come in for pre-season as long as you respect me, train hard, you won't have a problem, you'll train with the group. Fair enough, no problem.
Yeah.
Went back down. My kids were born, so I've got twins.
Okay.
So kids were born a day before pre-season. So we've now got newborn twins at home.
Yeah.
I'm on a transfer list. I'm thinking, oh, fucking hell. Like,
that's a lot.
What's going off here? Where am I going to go? And I I started training, trained really well, was fit. And he said to me, look, the board basically put you on the list, so don't go anywhere. Let the window shut and you're playing. So I'm like, all right, okay, no problem. So I had to wait 3 games, I think, and then the window shot straight in the team.
Did you turn anyone down? Did anyone come in for it?
Turned a few down, yeah. Turned a couple of clubs down, but it was all like...
That must be risky for you, like, him just saying, turn them down and you'll play. You must think, will I?
Yeah, but he was one of them who you believe...
You could trust him. Yeah.
And he was true to his word, went straight in the team, played every week, went and got promoted.
Yeah.
And he was good as gold, he was great, brilliant to play for.
Who was the big hitters there?
It was pretty much a similar team to the one that went all the way up to the Premier League. Billy Sharp, Flecky.
I've mentioned this pod before, I'm a huge Open Goal fan, and they pump Flecky's tires.
Flecky's brilliant.
Is he good, is he?
Yeah, Flecky's, I always say he's one of the best, always say he's the best player I've played, but just he's my best mate. Like,
okay.
So we still speak all the time, but really good player, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. How was he in terms of like Scottish boy going down? Did he get any beers as well?
Yeah. Yeah, Flecky likes a beer, yeah. Doesn't speak.
Is he quiet, is he?
Just quiet as a mouse. Doesn't speak. Doesn't speak to anyone. Phones me all the time. FaceTime. All right, John? All right? What's happening? You phone me? None. All right, then. But I'm the only one he phones. He doesn't speak to anyone. So, yeah, he's brilliant, Flecky. So, Flecky coming from Coventry, I think the second year I was there.
Yeah.
So, I played in Scotland 21s with Flecky.
Yeah.
So, he didn't speak there either, but used to say hi to him when we played against him or whatever. I didn't really know him. And we just sort of hit it off straight away.
Yeah.
Yeah, top man.
I was going to chat about the 21s afterwards, but because you mentioned it, some big dogs then? Or?
Yeah, we had a good team.
Yeah.
We had a good team.
Did you go to the playoff final, did you, the 21s?
Yeah, it was weird how it was done. We won our group, and then we had to play Iceland in a two-legged playoff. And it's weird because at 21s, you don't know how good everyone's going to be or how good their careers are going to be.
Yeah.
You everyone's young.
Yeah.
But Gylfi Sigurdsson scored 2 absolute worldies against us.
Oh, did he?
And beat us 2-1. Chris Maguire scored.
Sigurdsson
scored his first one. We took kickoff and Chris's shot from halfway line scored back 1 all at Easter Road.
Oh, I remember that. I remember he scored from halfway line. Yeah.
And then Sigurdsson scored another absolute worldie from like 40 yards in the stanchion again. And you're like, who's this fella?
Yeah, but at that point, you don't have a clue who he is.
Well, we knew he was at Tottenham. He was at Tottenham.
Okay.
I think he'd been at like Wolfsburg or something. Tottenham paid like 12 million quid for him. So at 21's level, he must be fucking good. Didn't know how good he was, but yeah, he scored 2 absolute worldies, beat us.
Jesus.
But yeah, we had a really good side.
Who was some of the players there?
The back line had Hanlon. What's the lad's name? Wilson, it was at Rangers for
Danny Wilson.
Danny. Had about Tam Scobie. Midfield, you had me, Kev McDonald.
Oh, yeah. I've heard he's a riot.
Yeah, Kev, good lad.
Yeah.
Scotty Arfield, great lad.
Yeah, yeah. Did he play for the 21s?
Yeah, he actually flipped over to Canada. But yeah, Scotty was in with team. Barry Bannon.
Okay.
Then we had Chris A, David Goodwillie.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That's a good team, isn't it?
Yeah. Murphy.
Jamie Murphy.
I played him at Sheffield United as well. Good player.
Yeah.
Yeah, we had a good side. Like
going through like your career so far, there was quite a lot of Scottish lads went down the same route as you. Yeah,
yeah. There's a lot. There's loads of them in England. Loads of Scottish lads in England. I think a lot of Scottish lads try and break through to England.
Yeah.
Obviously the riches are getting to the Premier League or whatever.
Yeah.
Tries to lure everyone down. So I think there's loads of lads that try and get down there.
See, as a player, if you go into a club, it's obviously this is just me kind of thinking it's how it would be. But if you go into a club where you don't know anyone, do you naturally just go to the Scottish boys?
I think the Scottish and the Irish.
Do they all kind of stick together, do they?
Because you know they've done what you've done. They've moved away from home. Their missus probably doesn't know anyone. So your missus might hit it off. Like, you's probably won't have any family and friends and that around, apart from outside of football. So you'll go for tea and all that. Go for beers, have your nights out with him.
Yeah.
So I think the Irish and the Scottish generally go together most of the time. Yeah.
Did you play, so was Bannon at Sheffield Wednesday when you were at United?
Yeah.
Did you play against him?
Yeah.
Good player?
Baz, good player.
Yeah.
Baz, when we were in the 21, I think Baz was the best five-a-side player I've ever seen.
Is he one of those?
Unbelievably good. Five-a-side, unbelievably good. Just sharp.
Yeah.
Wand of a left foot. Good player. Yeah, good player.
So, how did the Sheffield United thing kind of come to an end?
Yeah, so I'd missed a bit of the first season we were in the Championship. I missed the tail end of it, got injured, and then I come back in sort of halfway through the season. We got promoted to the Premier League.
Yeah, class.
So I'd come back in.
Was that playoffs you went up, or was it?
No, second. Norwich won the league. We come second. So
that must be some buzz, baby.
Yeah, it was good. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Some trip away after.
Some bonus as well.
Yeah, it was good. Yeah. Yeah. So no, I'd been in talks to sign a new contract. With me and Wilder, basically, I'd just been talking. He said, "Look, from the January onwards, Luke, we'll get sorted. Let's get over the line. Both of us happy with that, no problem." But I'd also been speaking to my agent saying, "Look, what are we going to do if I don't sign here?"
Yeah.
So I'd actually been in Met Sunderland in the January, and we sat down, had a meal with him in Manchester with my agent. I'd been the same agent the whole time. Yeah. Ferguson made me go with his agent, right? It was one of his dad's mates.
Right, okay.
He made me go with him. Been with him my whole career. He's like 75. So
knows his shit.
Well, you hope so.
Yeah, yeah.
You don't know really. They all speak shit, all the agents. So I've been with him my whole career. Sound guy, Mike, and he's based out in Monaco, so he doesn't pay any tax, basically.
Right. Okay.
So we've had this meeting. Had the recruitment with Sunderland. We've agreed all terms and everything, and they're going to put in a bid in January. And I'm at Sound, so January's ticking, and then I've had a meal on the Saturday. Phone my agent on the Tuesday, and I'm going like, what's going on with this? Bid, is it happening or not?
Yeah.
He's like, what bid? And I was like, Sunderland. Going, what are you on about? I said, well, I'm pretty sure we fucking sat down and had a meal and discussed everything with him on Saturday. He's going, what? I'm like, what?
What the fuck?
Are you noising me up here or what? So, didn't know what was going on. Turned out he had that Alzheimer's.
Oh my God.
So, that was our last professional conversation, me and him. Like, after that, he was unfit to work, put in a care home.
Fuck.
So I was like, fucking hell, in the window shop the next day. So I'm like, oh, I'm staying. So that's that done.
Oh my God.
So that was mental. And then obviously I was glad we did stay, so we got promoted. So yeah, it worked out well in the end. But at the time I was like, what the fuck are you on about? We just had a meal. And he was going to me like, what day is this? And I'm like, it's Tuesday the 30th or something of January. Like,
yeah,
we've got a day. Shuts tomorrow at 5. And he was going, I've missed my flight. Oh my God, I'm in Monaco. I missed my flight. Oh, I'll need to ring you back. I'm going, no, don't ring me back. Like, what about the deal? What deal?
Oh, wow.
So it was weird. Like, yeah, he got Alzheimer's and that was him.
Shit. Yeah,
stopped working. So fucking mental. Like,
that is mental. You're talking about there about the window. Did you ever get involved? Were you ever involved in any deadline day stuff?
Yeah. I went to Preston on deadline day.
Was that stressful?
Very.
Yeah.
Because I was dealing with Barry. So very stressful. So my agent again rung me and said, this deal's happening, they've agreed a price, so get yourself on the motorway.
So this is from Peterborough to Preston.
Peterborough to Preston, yeah. Get yourself on the motorway, get yourself down there. I'm like, right, okay. So I'm driving now, so it's about 3.5 hours this drive, so I'm about hour and a half in.
Yeah.
Phone goes, it's Barry. Where are you? So I'm like, oh, I've gone shopping with the missus in Nottingham. It's about halfway or something, and that'll buy me some time if I've got it. And he goes, you better come to the ground. You need to sign release forms. And I'm like, oh, right, okay. So spun the car back round, back down to Peterborough, got in the office. I think the window was shut at 5, and I've got there at 4:15. And Preston have emailed over my contract and their bonus sheet and all that, because that's all got to get into the FA before they'll put it through in time.
Fuck.
So I'm like, right, cool, signed everything. So Barry's gone, right, only thing left is Cove have got 25% sell-on clause. I've gone, okay, they'll need to waive that. And I went, oh, okay, you better ring Keith Morehouse or whatever.
Yeah.
And he's gone, no, you will. So I'm only 18, 19.
Oh, and my going, God.
What do you mean I will? it's not my job. And he's gone, the deal's not going to go through, but I've seen my new contract and signed it and everything. I'm going, well, I need the deal to go through.
I'm taking that, yeah.
So phoned Keith Morehouse and said, Keith's really sorry to phone you. And this is what they're saying. And he's just gone, I'd have to call a board meeting, get all the directors in, vote on it in the next half hour. It's not happening. and we wouldn't do it anyway, Paul, but it's just not happening. But I can say to them that I'm going to try and do it, and it just won't happen in time. So you can tell them that, okay, we're trying. So Barry's in that office. God. I know it's not happening. He come back in at like 59, and he's gone, yeah, it's gone through, son, all the fucking best, yeah, and give me a handshake and all that.
No
and
fucking
gone,
way.
You fucking chancer. See, we did just pocketed that.
Holy
so
shit.
So I was like, you sneaky fucker.
That's mad.
Yeah. So it got done, like, but...
And Cove got there?
Cove got their money. Everything went according to plan, like, but... obviously, he's put that on my toes at, like, 18, 19, and I'm going, what do you mean, like, phone the chairman? I'm not doing that.
Jesus. And then eventually he just went, like, go anyway.
He just faxed it through to the FA and it was done. But he was just trying it.
So if Cove said yes to it, he would have just taken that cash and...
He just put it in his pocket, yeah, because it would have been whatever, I think... I think the total, it was like £1 million went for, so like, you know, 250 grand, yeah, just yeah, for him to go, thank you. So it was sneaky.
That is madness. Yeah. Is there a lot of that in football?
Well, I think Barry's prone to it. Like, yeah. I don't know. I don't think it goes on much these days, like, but definitely before my time, probably just as I break it through, yeah, it was rife. Yeah, there was loads of it going
That's
on.
Madness, yeah. That he's. Big smile on his face, shaking your hand.
Just right, I fucking go on, off you go. I put the deal through. Like, as if he did me a favour.
Yeah, yeah.
I was going up to your stop, man.
So the stress levels that day must have been wild.
Well, because he tried to be clever by making me sign the Preston contract, which was obviously a big bump from what
yeah,
I was getting.
You're seeing that, yeah.
So I was going, Pertin was going, don't tell the lads the bonuses them boys are getting and all this, but so I've had to sign their bonus sheet. I'm going, oh, fucking hell. And then... Last thing, mate, phone Keith Morehouse. God, oh, fuck.
Was Keith Olivia, though?
Keith Sound, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Brilliant. He just went, that's not going to happen, but, like,
he just did it,
I'll yeah. speak to Barry and tell him, oh, I'll try call a board meeting and all that. But it was never. Yeah, sneaky fucker.
So Sheffield, they got promoted. You left in the summer.
Yeah.
Fleetwood?
Yeah.
Joey Barton?
Yeah.
How was that?
Interesting, yeah. It was good. I got on well with Joe.
Yeah.
Don't think it's breaking news to say he's an absolute maniac, like.
Yeah, yeah. He's been linked with Aberdeen job if Robson goes.
Has he?
So he's obviously doing
he's
something
good,
right.
He's a good coach. He's
is he as wild as a manager as he was a player?
Just different. I think, like, I mean,
he's quite old school.
Yeah. He took a lot from Sean Dyche, I think.
Okay.
There were lots of training methods and stuff. I think he what he's portrayed in the media and, like, half of it is what he puts out about himself.
Yeah, yeah.
Isn't really how he is. He's,
okay.
He's intense, but it's all... He watches every game of football and let's go all around the world. He's watching everything.
Okay.
He's really intense in his coaching, loves it, totally into the game. Like, but yeah, he's wild. Like, if it doesn't go exactly according to plan, how it should have in his head, like, he can go off.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Can he crack big time?
Oh, yeah.
That's scary, boy.
Yeah, he can go nuts. Like, yeah, he's got head loss in him, big time.
Did you get a lot... Were you on the receiving end of a lot of head losses, imagine?
Not too bad. I was all right. Joe was brand new with me.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was really good with me. But some of the lads, if like they just weren't quite getting it, we used to call it the flamethrower. If they were getting a flamethrower Monday morning, that would be them for like 6 weeks.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they would be under the gun with him. He would just be going at him. Everything they did was wrong.
Oh,
and
fuck.
He'd be like, oh, fucking poor cunt. Every meeting would just be like, right, let's get this cunt's clips off in front of everyone. You'd watch it, we'd be like, oh no.
Just watching boys have a beast.
Yeah, brutal. Brutal to some people. But with me, yeah, sound.
Sound
with you. I wasn't, when we were leaving Sheffield, because we had the kids and stuff, it was like, we wanted to move somewhere further north. I lived in the same area. I'd lived in Preston, because Fleetwood Preston close to each other.
Right, okay.
Nice area, nice for the kids, sound. We'll go up there. But Joe phoned me. It was weird. He phoned me. So we'd just been promoted and we're going to Vegas. So we're sitting in the lounge, ready to go.
Yeah.
And my phone rang. Number don't have answered it. And it's Joey. He's chatting away. I said, look, I'm just waiting on this flight. And he's going, oh, buzzing. Have a great time. Phone me when you get back. If you survive and all that, like usual stuff. And phone me when you get back. Come up and see our training ground. And I'm thinking, probably won't sign for Fleetwood, but Sam will do. As soon as we touched down, phone rang again, it was him. Must have tracked the flight. And I'm like,
fuck.
All right? And he was like, yeah, so you're back. And I'm like, we're not even off the flight yet. I'm thinking, how the fuck do you know we're back? Like, bang on, right on cue. So I said, look, I'm struggling to come see your training ground. got to go, taking the kids straight back to Aberdeen, like summer holidays were booked, all this sort of stuff. He's gone, I'll drive to Aberdeen, we'll have a game of golf. And I'm like, well, I can't really say anything about that, like he's dead keen.
Yeah.
So I went, oh, it's a long drive, mate, from Liverpool, like, you know, it'd be 6-7 hours that for you. And he's gone, I'm a member at Loch Lomond, do you want to meet halfway and we'll play there? And I'm thinking, oh, you can't go on Loch Lomond. So I'm thinking, go on, then I'll come for a knock. And actually, he was brilliant, like, met him and he was brilliant.
Yeah, yeah.
Proper sound. Ended up going to see the training ground. The training ground's amazing.
There. Is it good up there, is it?
Yeah, so the, I mean, at the time, I didn't really know what was, how. The training ground, unbelievable. They'd obviously got Joey in with all his backroom staff thinking, he can't have been cheap. They're signing loads of players thinking, how, don't know where the budget's come from.
Okay.
Turned, the owner's ended up, he's been jailed for fraud last year.
Class.
Done an £80 million fraud.
Jesus.
So he's doing 14 years for that. But that's obviously where the money was coming from.
Yeah, yeah.
So they were having a right go, and I was thinking, oh, right, okay, Sam. So went in, and then when Joey ended up getting sacked from Fleetwood, they sort of pulled the plug, and about four or five of us went.
Okay.
Like a week later. So I went, Ched Evans went, like Charlie Mulgrew, I think, stayed for a little bit, but then.
Oh, just Mulgrew, was he?
Yeah, big Charlie. This is what I mean. Like, the players that were signed, you're thinking, how are you getting these boys for the day? Barry McKay was there.
Jesus.
So we had a really good side. We finished third in the league in the COVID season.
Right, okay.
Got beat in the playoffs, and then the next season, Joe got sacked, and then it just sort of
cut away from there. How was football in the COVID years?
Flat.
Yeah.
Yeah, really flat.
Watching on the telly was brilliant because you could hear people speak like shouting and swearing at each other and all that, but
yeah, it was weird. It was just like having a 11v11 in training. So like,
did you get on for it? Was it,
you could get on for it, but the tempo was slower.
Aye, okay.
Everyone would decided they were playing out from the back because that's what it's like in training.
Yeah, yeah,
pretty much all corners are taking short, free kicks are taking short. It's totally different when the crowd's there. They're demanding it's going in the box.
Going in the box, yeah,
there's none of that. So it's like, oh, just keep the ball, knock it around. So like tempo a lot lower, and like I thought everything got played short and totally different.
Yeah, yeah.
So the games played differently.
Fucking hell.
So yeah. So it was weird, yeah. A bit weird.
How was Mulgrew? Because I love him.
What a guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hilarious.
He's just on everyone all the time.
Yeah. Well, I drove in with him. We live next to each other. So he was at Blackburn and he'd come up to Fleetwood, signed for Fleetwood, and really good player. Like,
yeah, yeah.
Really good player. But what a guy.
Just on people all the time.
Yeah. We would drive in together and then we'd be like, right, we'll get on someone.
Were you part of it? Yeah,
tee him up all the time. He used to crack me up because after training, like, he had his little routines. So after training, he would go, like, he'd have to have an ice bath, then he'd have to have a warm bath, then he'd have to go back in the ice bath.
Yeah.
And I wasn't a believer in any of that.
Oh, yeah, okay.
No, and then he'd have to go and get a massage, and then he'd have to, we had a cryo chamber, which was like minus 50, and then he'd have to go in a cryo chamber.
They had them in the club?
Yeah, we had all, Fleetwood had everything.
Jesus.
And then he'd have to have a foam roll, and then he, so I'm like waiting for him.
Get up and fucking road, man.
Chaz, you're about 48 years old, mate. Just get in the car. You'll be stiff tomorrow, whatever you do. Shut the, and he was going, no. I've got to. I've always done this. Going, right, sound. So yeah, it used to take fucking ages after training, but hilarious around the place. Like,
what was the best wind up you done?
He's, I mean, you've probably heard his classic one from Blackburn with the Yankee Bravos.
Yeah, Yankee Bravos. Like, did he get boys with it?
No, because he'd done it on the podcast. So everyone was on it straight away that he's on the wind up, whatever he was doing. So like, he was struggling to get anyone with anything, but he was just like, he was one of them. Everything he said was funny.
Yeah.
He had me in stitches all the time. He drives in brilliant. He was the worst driver I've ever seen.
Is he?
Worst driver. He used to get a large, extra hot black coffee from Starbucks on the way in.
Yeah.
Crack a top off it, right? Every warning light's on in his car. And he's driving, so this thing's full to the brim. He's trying to drive with his knees, right? And he'd be like right up behind the phone. I'd be going, Chaz, mate, why? Why such a big fucking boiling hot coffee? Like, what is going on? He'd be like, what do you mean? Like, as if it was nothing. Fuck it, all the warning lights flashing off, flat tires, fucking everything. Fuck's sake. So whenever he drove it, you're always right on edge.
So from there, you ended up going on loan to Salford.
Yeah.
I love Salford. I've said to you, stay off air. How was that?
Shit show.
Yeah.
Proper shit show, yeah. It was weird.
No, what it looks like, I'm telling you.
No, it's well edited, that show. Like, really well edited. Because
it was just a loan deal, wasn't it?
So it was on loan. So I went for a meeting with the chairman at Fleetwood on the Monday. because my contract was running out that year.
Yeah.
I went for a meeting with him and said, what's going on? Got young kids. If I'm moving house in 4 months, I need to know.
Yeah.
Need a house, need schools, need all that stuff to get organised.
Yeah.
He went, no. We're getting a new contract sorted. I'm all for, so Joey's just been sacked, so there's no manager either. He's gone. I'm all for giving young guys a chance in management as well if you're doing your badges. So I'm like, all right, I'm going to be here for the long haul then.
Yeah.
Sand, weight off my mind, get that sorted. Played in the Tuesday night, captain the side, away at Milton Keynes. Phone call Wednesday, you're free to go. So I'm like, right, where the fuck's that come from? So now I'm free to go.
Fuck.
Within 10 minutes, Gary Neville's been on to my agent saying, we'll take him, pay all his wages. I'm like, okay, right, sound. So my agent's going, do you want to go? And I'm like, it's commutable from where we were.
Was
so
it?
I wouldn't
okay.
have to move anyone. And it would give me the 4 months to plan to move somewhere else. Obviously, now I know that that's
you're going
coming to an end or whatever. So I was like, well, not really. We could hang fire and see what else comes up. But put in some mad demands. Ask for, like, say I want appearance money. I want more win bonus. I want more promotion bonus. I want... You won't get that. I says, well, I know, but I'm not that bothered about going.
Yeah.
Just ask. Phone's back. 10 minutes later. Gary says, yeah.
To all of it.
Evan. I'm like, oh, shit, I fucking went well higher with everything. So I'm like, fuck's sake, sounds. Thursday morning, I've got to be there at like, I've got to be in Salford at 7 in the morning, something to do a medical. So up to Fleetwood, got on my boots, set off at like 6 in the morning, got down there. I've turned up and I'm the only one there. And I'm like, to the address that I've been given.
Yeah.
I'm thinking, this can't be it. It just can't be. It's just derelict old school building.
Yeah.
Fucking drips everywhere, leaking. Fucking no lights or nothing. I'm like, this can't be it. I must be in the wrong place. Next thing, the kit man arrives, physio arrive. I am in the right place. Go in. Can I get a cup of coffee or something? No canteen, no kettle, nothing like that here. You take your own water, you take your own food.
So take your own food?
Take your own food, yeah. So I said, what do the lads do like for their breakfast? And like, you must eat after training and stuff, like, because sports scientists are mad on all that.
Yeah.
Bakery around the corner. I'm like, well, hold on a minute. Professional football club, what do you mean you send the boys to the bakery for a steak bake after training? I go, what? So I'm like, I should have known there and then this was not going to be what I thought it was.
Yeah.
I'm like, right, okay, so said to the kit man, I'll need some kit. He's giving me like, a quadruple XL t-shirt and extra small shorts, right, snowing. And I've got them, well, fucking, they don't fit. And I'm going to need a jumper. Like, it's fucking snowing. And he's like, that's it. That's all the kit we've got.
All that. It.
That's all we've got. And I'm like, oh, do you know what then? Just keep that. And when the manager arrives, just tell him I fucked off home. And he was like, what? What do you mean? I was like, well, just tell me you didn't have any kit for me and I fucked off home.
Yeah.
And he was like, oh, the fuck's... No. Like, come... Opens his container. He's got a fucking container full of kit.
Oh,
he just didn't
want
to dish it out. So I'm like, what the fuck?
What is that all about?
Don't know. Kit man, isn't it? So I'm like, right. So I ended up getting a t-shirt and a pair of shorts that fitted this, but that was it. And it was fucking Baltic. Went in. I mean, there's not even heating in this building. It's just it's an old school which has been... The school's moved and they've just left this building. And
yeah.
That's where they're training.
That is madness.
So I was like, this is a fucking shambles bit. It was during COVID as well.
Yeah.
So, like I said to you beforehand, there's nobody in the stadium except the owners. So you're like, you've got Giggs, Neville, Scholes, and for some reason, every game, Roy Keane.
Roy Keane, he was all the games,
mate. Every game, with their documentary crew, and no one else in the stadium. So you're like, oh my God, this is fucking weird. Hope I play well. But like, the pitch was shit. The pitch on a mad slope at Salford, and it's a weird pitch because it's at like, there's hills all around it. So the drains flood and then it floods from underneath.
Oh my God.
So for the first 6 weeks I was there, we had 4 home games off in a row. So just drains
flood.
Just was flooded, but it's like bubbling up underneath, like spurting out in that.
Fucking hell.
So like, couldn't get a game on. They didn't have a full-time groundsman. Like,
who was the manager at that point?
So Richie Wellens was the manager.
Yeah. Did you know him previously or?
Only played against him.
Okay.
Played against him a few times when he was at Leicester, I think.
Because he wasn't there for long, was he?
No, and he was quite good.
Was he?
He was battling a lot.
Right.
There was a lot going on off the field. I think Gary's got huge input in everything. So Richie got sad. Gary Bowyer come in. he was okay.
Yeah.
Did all right. I remember I'd injured my knee, and so Gary Neville was saying, if coming in the season there's a permanent deal for you. So I injured my knee, but Richie Wellens kept playing me.
Okay.
But I wasn't training in between, and I had swelling in my knee, and I said, look, I'm going to need to get this right, because my contract's running out now. I won't be able to pass a medical in the summer.
Yeah.
So I'm either signing a deal on getting my knee right, and I'm going to have to rest it. You're going to have to leave me out.
Yeah.
Come Tuesday night, play 90 minutes. Have the same conversation on Thursday, Friday, wouldn't train, play 90 minutes Saturday. So just kept going, and the swelling was getting worse. So my agents phoned Gary Neville and said, look, is there a deal to be signed here? Because otherwise he's got... Neville's kicked off going, is that a threat? What, he's just not going to play? And he's going, no, like, no. But, you know, he's a professional footballer. He's got to look after his knee.
Yeah.
Like, it's his livelihood. You know yourself, Gary. Gary's gone, nah, there's no deals getting done until after we find out where we're at in the summer. So I played like another 2 games after that. And then after, I just said, I'm injured. I'm not playing.
Holy shit.
So it was a shambles of a place.
Yeah. Did they ever get involved in, like, did they ever come down to the changing rooms and that?
Not really, no. Gary would go to the, would be at training ground sometimes, and would be like, he would pull some of the players, like the captain and a few of the other. I was only a lone player, so I didn't really have an input in it.
Yeah.
But some of the senior players would get pulled and asked on, like, what's their opinion on the manager? What's training like? What's this? So I didn't really like how that was going, because you know the manager's getting undermined.
Yeah.
You know, boys who aren't getting picked, obviously they're saying his shit.
Yeah.
And then, obviously, Richie Wellens got the sack not long after, like, that. And Gary was having meetings with everyone and stuff. Just, he was really involved in a lot.
Is it different being a lone player than it is being, like, signed for a club?
Yeah.
Yeah, just, do you feel, in what sense, just like...
I think it's just, you know, you're not...
It's not really your club, is it?
Yeah, you're not... It's kind of irrelevant what's going to, especially, I mean, it, I suppose for me at that time, it was like, I was half trying to earn a contract. But on the flip side of it, actually, I didn't really want to be part of that going forward, because the facilities and everything wasn't gearing the team up to play well.
Fucking hell.
So everything was pretty shit.
Yeah.
I was thinking, they were just overpaying everyone on wages.
But then nothing else.
Like, nothing else, literally nothing else.
Did they have things like masseuses and all that, no?
No, didn't have anything like that.
It's just one physio, one kit man.
Yeah, you had your kit man, you had your physio, but you didn't, like, I mean, everywhere else you've got, like, canteen, chef,
yeah,
nutritionist,
yeah.
Sport, everything, like, there was nothing, there was no meeting room, there was nothing. It was like, so it was just weird, like, but, so I had done... Once I ended up getting my kit after my medical and all that, the lads started to arrive.
Yeah.
And, like, you could see what they'd been doing with how they'd run the club, because, I mean, R8s, Range Rover, you're going, eh?
Yeah.
This is Salford in League 2. What's going on here? Like, how's everyone driving motors like that?
Yeah.
So, obviously, everyone was just getting money flung at them.
Yeah.
But, fucking hell, everything else was shit.
Surely they weren't happy with that. Surely as players, you're not happy...
Well, that's all they did. All the players did was moan. Just moaned, and how shit everything was, but just picking up their wages. So I think that's why they've stalled where they're at, because they basically signed decent League 1 players, top end of League 2 players, and just overpay them.
Yeah.
And then they just go, cool, just take my money for a couple of seasons.
And then bugger off.
But they can't get out of the league. But their wage bill's fucking through the roof.
Yeah.
It's fucking badly, bad run club. That.
And then last club down in England... Bristol Rovers with Joey Barton again.
Yeah.
So is that when your contract ran out at Fleetwood? He became.
I went down. So I was only meant to go down for a year. Joe took the job. When I went to Salford, Joe took the job down there, and they were fucked anyway, but they got relegated.
Right.
And he phoned me that summer and said, come down for a year and just help me, like, sort out the changing room, basically, because it's full of knobheads. He's just not having any of the lads there.
Yeah.
He wants to clear them out, but he needs a hand, like, sorting out the, like, standards around the place, standards on the training ground, all that sort of stuff.
Okay.
Which, when I'd been at Fleetwood, I must have done all
right. Done it, yeah.
I went down and was meant to do a year. We got promoted on the last day of the season. So we went up to League One. I was meant to come home. My missus and kids had moved back to Aberdeen at that point, so I'd had a year in Bristol on my own. And we've been promoted, and he's like, one more year, do one more year, get stable in League One. Right, okay. So one more year, and then come this summer, it was like, join the coaching staff. I'm like, well, do be player coach, all this sort of stuff.
Yeah.
You've still got a bit in your legs, and then you can do your coaching badges down here and all that bit. I've just been away from the family for too long. I've been 2 years since really seen the kids at all, and seen the missus at all. So I was like, listen, I've got to go home. At some point, I'm not going to do the first year of coaching, and that's just going to be it.
Yeah.
That's like you starting out a new journey. I was like, I'm going to have to go home, mate.
Yeah.
So yeah, but I like Bristol. Bristol's decent.
Is it nice city?
Yeah, good. Good, nice city. Again, two clubs in the city always makes for a great rivalry.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was decent.
Good setup there at Rovers.
Yeah, brand new training ground. Decent stadium. Stadium was a bit mad. Like, stadium had like, I think it's got something like 7 stands all like next to each other, like almost like sheds next to each other, but created a really good atmosphere.
Yeah.
At the start of the League Two season, when we ended up getting promoted, but at the start of the season, it was like, it was toxic, like, because they'd just come off the back of a relegation, and we started shit.
Yeah.
And they were just brutal. And we got a decent crowd. I think we got 11,000-12,000 or something. Okay, so a decent crowd. And they were just not having it. They were fuming about everything. And then obviously that went on to Joey, and then Joey's fuming about everything, and he was just grilling and grilling and grilling people. And it was a tough run until about probably the January. We signed the kid Elliot Anderson.
Oh yeah, yeah.
From Newcastle. Yeah, he come in the January, never heard of him, come in the last day of January. We were going, fucking hell, so we don't need a kid.
Yeah.
We need some experience. Whew, he was a fucking good player.
Is he good? Is he?
Yeah, good player, yeah.
Because I think he's chose England now.
I actually went down and watched Newcastle, so spoke to him a little bit, and he put some tickets on for us, went down to the game, and he pulled out the Scotland squad.
Jack when he's
right. Yeah, and I was like, what the fuck's going on there then?
Yeah.
But he's a good player.
Good?
Yeah, really good, sharp as fuck, yeah.
See, is that the sort of what goes through your head? So he's an older player. If your team's not winning games and that, and then they go sign boys, like loan boys.
Yeah.
Does that go through your head? Like, you don't need fucking kids.
Well, it's just if you haven't heard of them, or you know, like, because obviously he's come in and you're thinking, I think he was 19, Elliot. Never heard of him. Never played a first team game for anyone.
Yeah.
So not made a professional debut or anything like that. You're thinking, we're battling like fuck here, trying to get even in the playoffs.
Yeah.
So top three go up out of League Two. We were in the top three for, I think we were in the top three for 15 minutes of the season, the last 15 minutes of the season.
Fuck.
So the whole time, we were
that's
favourites.
Class three,
yeah, it was class, we were favourites to win the league.
Yeah, so okay.
We had the pressure the whole season.
Yeah.
And we were only in it in the last 15 minutes of the season.
And it went up.
And we got up.
But that's ace, eh?
We won 7-0, went up by a goal.
That's amazing.
So, yeah. And Elliot scored the 7th.
Oh, did he?
Yeah. So you're like, in the end, you're like, good signing that. And at the time, you're thinking, who the fuck's this coming in? So yeah, no, he was class. He was good.
Joey Barton, is he somebody that you would work for? You know, like you're saying, he was trying to put. Is he someone that you would coach for in the future?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I did have a good relationship with him. Because, I mean, I was living down there on my own. Joe spent most of his time down there on his own.
Oh,
his family was still in Liverpool. So like, even on my days off, we'd go and have a game of snooker, a game of golf, go for breakfast, whatever.
Because that's not really, like, old school managers don't really do that, do
no.
they? They stay away from the players, like, days off and that.
I mean, I played against Joey, like, in my career, so
Jesus.
The age gap wasn't that big.
Yeah,
he was just finishing, I think he's just doing his pro license now, and he was trying to help me with my A license and stuff like that. So
yeah,
the age gap not being big, and sort of coming through the same generation, similar interests, like, we got on pretty well. Like,
yeah, nice guy. Good guy.
I don't know if I'd go as far as
a nice guy, but he's a good guy.
I got a good guy.
Yeah.
Sometimes on the day off, me and him would just go and have a couple of pints.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And, you know, like, other managers that would just not happen.
No.
You know, and yeah, Joe would phone me all the way up today. We'd go for a few pints, game of snooker. Yeah, Sam's.
And did boys in Bristol say anything? You know, like, if the player and the manager's out for a beer, no one said anything to you?
No. Bristol was a bit of a weird city because it's a massive student city.
Oh, is it? Okay.
So, don't get me wrong, there's areas which would be like massive Bristol Rovers, other areas massive Bristol city, but the area that we lived in was like loads of students just floating around. Wouldn't bat an eyelid at you. So, like, Joe's quite recognisable.
Yeah.
We would just go down, have a few beers, game of snooker, and no one would even say anything.
That's class.
So yeah, sound.
So obviously you're back up in Scotland now playing, doing your coaching. What is the sort of ambition for you, the coaching side of it?
I'm not entirely sure, to be honest. Still with you. Unsure. I'm doing my coaching down in England. Okay. So do it with English FA, do my A license at a minute. I'm gonna try to get that finished this year, should be done by May. Obviously playing with the locals, try and help them as much as possible.
Yeah.
Like I said, the generation of kids coming through them, and there's loads of young, good kids coming through in the Highland League. So it's just try and help them out, don't know if I'd say it's wisdom, but definitely experience I've got to pass on to them. Trying to help them improve.
Do you enjoy that sort of role?
Yeah, yeah. And like, to be fair, all the lads are totally open to trying to get better and trying to be the best they can. So
yeah,
you know, it's decent. Just trying to help them out, try and get them to like a, you know, you see flashes of really good stuff from them, and it's trying to get them to be consistent. You know, so the highs and lows aren't as contrasting. You want them to sort of be always at a decent level.
You gonna manage to get Logan to get a haircut?
He needs something, doesn't he? He needs something. Maybe that's been a problem as well, as his eyes.
So we're going to finish with some quick fire stuff.
Okay.
Best player you've played against in your career?
Modric, probably. Well, Modric was good. Swap shirts with Modric. So
did you?
Yeah.
Got that shirt?
Yeah. I give it to somebody. I give it to one of my mates, but I shouldn't have.
Yeah. You got a couple of big shirts in the
got a couple
in the collection.
Of ones. Schweinsteiger played against
nice.
Him.
Where was that for?
When he was at Man United.
Man United.
Played him at Sheffield United. To be fair, Rooney was very good.
Yeah.
Rooney's a good player. Tevez. Frightening. Tevez was frightening.
Yeah.
Yeah. Modric wasn't that good when I played against him, but what he's gone on to be, I didn't find him that hard to play against.
Yeah.
But once he's the career he's gone on had, you'd probably see him.
Yeah. Toughest player you've played against. But someone in terms of like, you think, I can't get a sniff of it.
To get a sniff of the ball against. Do you know who's tough? Tom Hoddleston.
Yeah, I've like under the caution that and stuff like that, open goal, they speak really highly.
Jesus Christ. He was like 6'5", must have been about 17 stone, but he had two absolute lasers in both feet. So he would just put his arm and hold you and put it on his weak foot and just hit an absolute zinger. Like, fuck. How'd you get anywhere near him? He was fucking incredible.
Best trainer you've trained with?
Jeff Hendricks.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Very good.
He's at Newcastle now, right?
Yeah.
Or maybe just left, I think.
Yeah, he was in Newcastle. Very good. But he was at Derby with him. Very good trainer.
Yeah. Just always on it.
She's really like, he was really committed off the field in the gym and stuff like that. It was in great nick, but like on the field some days it was just like, it was frightening.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was good.
Best boozer. You, but the story's
no,
not heard.
No. Probably John Parkin.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Big Parky, yeah. He wouldn't go in a kitty with Parky or nothing like that. He'd have 2 pints to your pint. That would just be straight away. And he would drink them quicker than you. So his 2 pints are gone, and then the young lads get sent to the bar again, get the next round, but the young lad would be at the bar with like half a copper burger and he's done 2 pints. So not worth going to a kitty with, but good drinker.
Worst boozer, someone that you think, fuck, I'm not
probably right. Me, always get myself in bother. Yeah, I wouldn't drop anyone else in it.
Have you had any locals nighttime yet?
We've had a couple of beers, yeah.
There's definitely a few questionable boozers.
Yeah, there's a couple of, like, Big Glenn, I've seen his photo there. Glenn's a bad boozer, yeah.
Is he terrible, is he?
Yeah, not the brightest at the best at times.
Future gaffer?
Billy Sharp.
Is he good, is he?
Yeah.
He's still playing, is he? In America
or something? He's over in LA Galaxy at the minute. I think Sharpie will end up Sheffield United manager.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's a legend there, eh?
Yeah. And he's done all his qualifications and that. He runs his own soccer schools and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
I can see Sharpie being a good gaffer, yeah.
Amazing. The last two questions. Favourite game you've played in?
Chef Wednesday, Sheffield United away. Beating 4-2.
Oof.
Yeah.
Big one.
Yeah.
Just unreal day.
Just an amazing day, yeah. Sharpie was injured. I was captain that day. So
that's class, yeah.
It was the biggest, I think it was the biggest win they'd had at Hillsborough in like post-war or something like that.
Jesus.
Mental day, yeah.
See, that sort of, that derby, was that like hostile?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Mental.
Is that the worst, like, biggest derby you've played in terms of like how much they hate each other?
Yeah, Derby Forest was a big one, but yeah, that one was next level probably.
It's maybe before you played at Derby, but did you play in the Derby game where they beat them 5-1 and Bryson scored?
Was there, I was injured. Okay. The one before it, I set Bryson up for the winner.
Right, okay.
Before they beat them 1-0 at the City Ground.
Bryson's like a legend there for purely why they're against Forest.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Bryce was a shocking trainer.
Was he?
Oh, unless it was just running, pre-season, fittest guy you've ever met in your life. But training, crap.
Just in terms of what? Just like, couldn't be arsed.
Come out with like 40 layers on. And like, just be crap. You'd be like, you just wouldn't want him in your team in anything. And then come match day, we just play in a short sleeve shirt, whatever the weather.
Score a winner.
Like a maniac.
Score a winner up the road.
Yeah. Another one was that was Craig McKell Smith. Remember him?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Played Peterborough.
Yeah. Terrible trainer.
Terrible Barnett as well.
Shocking Barnett. Worst trainer I've ever seen. Come match day, could run like a maniac.
Last question. Favourite goal you scored?
Probably. I scored one at Preston, which got. Was like got nominated for the goal of the league, yeah, goal of the season or something for the league. That was probably the best goal scored. But my favourite one would have been scored at Bramall Lane against, I think it was Hull. I had all my friends and family and everything were down.
I love that.
And it was a left footer. I would know where that
just swung a left.
Just kind of swung, went in the top corner, had a little swing at it, and yes. So I had everyone down, won the game, scored, got man of match. It was just an ace day.
Yeah.
So yeah, probably that one.
Mate, thank you so much for spending time coming speaking to me, and all the best in the future.
Brilliant. Cheers.
Thanks, Kutsi. Thanks, pal. Flows it.
Yeah.
Hope you're enjoying this podcast brought to you by Changing Room Chat. This episode is sponsored by Nicopods Elite, and we have quickly stopped for an advertisement with our sponsors. You have 30 seconds, pal. Go.
Here at Nicopods Elite, we supply premium nicotine pouches. We operate in the Aberdeen area and supply next day delivery throughout the UK to personal customers and also to businesses. We offer a wide range of brands such as Killa, Pablo, and many other fan favourites. Find us on Instagram now at Nicopods Elite or browse our website at www.nicopodselite.com. Boom. There you go, diving easy full 30.
Another feeling, brother.